is beginning to rain, 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 the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is wonderful to be with you again. I'm Pastor Tex Mars. We encourage you to write to us with your comments about our programs, and especially if you're being blessed by these messages each week from Bible Home Church. You know, we're heard around the world, and we do get letters from around the world for our programs, and many are blessed. But, you know, the people of God give, and they feel good in their hearts. And I think the Holy Spirit sort of gives them an attagirl or an attaboy. And they feel the joy of the Lord from giving. And it is better to give than to receive. It is. You know, so many of us in America today have enough material goods anyway. All we get is junk over a certain point. You really do. You know, somebody asked me, do I have a home theater system in my house? I said, a home theater system. They said, yeah, you know, you can put up speakers up in your, well, you know, I wouldn't play the thing anyway. It's just too much trouble. I mean, I just turn on the, if I want to watch a TV program, I turn on the TV and I'm just not one of the, what they call them, audio files or video files. And they have all these fancy things. And somebody says, how many watts is your, amplifier on your stereo system? And I said, watts? What is a watt? You know, I just play it. And some people think I'm very ignorant of those things, but I haven't got the time to be a videophile or audiophile. I just can't worry about those things. In fact, I must tell you, I saw this old, I call it Victrola. Remember the old Victrolas that played 33 and a third RPM? I saw one of those, and it wasn't very expensive. It was actually a new reproduction of the old style, record players. But it also had a CD player in it. And I don't know, I think it cost about $100 and something, you know, at one of these department stores, Targets or whatever. And Wanda asked me what I wanted for my birthday last year, and I said, I want that. She says, well, that's not even going to look pretty in our house. One of those old-fashioned. I said, sweetheart, it's sort of done in oak wood. It's sort of pretty. Well, she got it for me. I don't think she likes where I put it in the house. But anyway, she did get it for me. I just wanted something sort of old-fashioned. And it doesn't have all these big old speakers or the fancy ones, but it plays good enough for me. And, but over a certain amount of things, you're just wasting them. Sort of like food. Friends, once you're full, you're full. You just don't need any more. If you take in any more, you get fat. That is one of my downfalls there, I guess. I do take in more food than I need. But it is true, though. I don't need it. It'd be better to not have it. And I think that's true in any case. I mean, you drive a car. Well, how many horsepower do you need to get along the road? You know? I always laugh at these guys. How many horses have you got under that engine? How many horses? Hadn't heard any of them bray. Oh, that would be a donkey anyway, wouldn't it? Well, in any case, folks, we're going to have a wonderful message today in just a moment. We've had a drought here, and that's why I sort of appreciate Johnny Ray Watson's theme song for us, It's Beginning to Rain. Of course, he's talking about a spiritual rain. And I think any time you turn to the Word of God, which is what we're going to do as we continue with part four of our series, How to Be a Witness for Christ, I think that's when you get the spiritual rain. You get those raindrops. And let me tell you, it's wonderful to have that. Hey, remember that old musical movie years and years ago, back when they had the wonderful movies, the good ones? I still like those old movies. What was it? The guy, I think it was Gene Kelly, the dancer, singing in the rain. And when I say dancer, they don't do this dirty dancing back then. They just do a little, you know, tap dancing or whatever. But Gene Kelly was the singer, singing in the rain. And he was there, and he had his hat on, and boy, rain was all over. He was happy as can be. I think it had to do something with a girlfriend or something that he had. But he was singing in the rain, happy as could be. Well, I really think that happens to Christians. The closer they get to God, the more they're just singing in the rain. And that's why Johnny sings that song, "It's Beginning to Rain." Praise God for the Father. It's beginning to rain. And that's a good thing. And you know, when you're a witness for Christ, I'll tell you, you have the rain all the time. Now, some people think of rain as a bad thing. You know, somebody wrote to me one day and they said, "Tex, have you noticed that in many of the rock and roll songs, the singers seem to have a fear or a disdain for rain?" I never thought about it. You know, they said one of the songs back in the 70s was most popular was a song called "Who'll Stop the Rain?" Like, they want it stopped. I wonder if that didn't have some spiritual implications. This fellow thought it did. You know, it seemed like every song would say something bad about rain. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, that had any spiritual implications, but it could be. The world doesn't like the rain. You know, the Bible even talks about in the last days, the latter day rain. You know, many people say things are going to get bad and bad and worse and worse, and that's true. Even Paul said that. Things would wax worse and worse with men deceiving and being deceived. But at the same time, as evil reaches its fullness, God's banner is raised by the few Christians that are left. Isn't that something? The world is really in a famine, in a drought period of spirituality, true spirit. But for the Christians, the rain is coming down and things are bountiful. Now, that is a contrary view. I've said now God is a contrarian. That is the contrary view. That is, the world sees things in a drought. God's people see things as prosperous. They can live in a hovel. They can be homeless. They can live in a shack. But they say, "Wow, I'm rich." And the rain keeps coming down. We're like Gene Kelly. Spiritual blessings abound. So when the devil thinks he's got it made, he's at his worst in producing sinners and lost souls, suddenly God says, "I will raise a standard among the people." It is only a remnant. But you remember Elijah? There was a drought, physical and spiritual, in the land. But there was one who did not die. He lived physically and he lived spiritually. He didn't have a lot physically. In fact, for a while he had to live out in the boonies, out near a little old brook, babbling brook there, I guess you would call it, out in the wilderness. Then he had to take up residence with a widow and her son, and all they had was a little bit of meal, just a little bit of food to eat. But it went a long, long way. You'll have to read about that there in the Bible. But listen to me. Elijah had the very manna of God, the bread of life given to him. And he had the Spirit of God in him. He was even able to heal physically the widow's son. And what blessings that widow had by taking care of God's anointed. Friends, I want to tell you something. When you help one of God's anointed, the blessings will flow on you. And if you are one of God's anointed, and I mean by that, chosen by Him, in other words, saved, the Spirit of God resides in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If someone gives you even so much as a bit of water to drink, they will be blessed. I do believe that. I am confident of that. You know, I've often thought about things like that. There are heathen out there pagans who, in their sympathy and merciful heart, help Christians out in need. I believe that they will be taken care of. You say, well, now wait, Tex. Are you saying that a heathen or a pagan might go to heaven just because they did something good for a Christian? That's what I'm saying. But listen, they're not going to stay a heathen or a pagan. I believe in this very life, those who reach out to and are good to Christians, I do believe they'll be rewarded. I believe that they will first receive the joy of Christ through salvation, being born again, and they'll be rewarded. Now, I didn't say now they were going to get rich. I didn't say they were going to have prosperity according to material aspirations. I am talking about true prosperity, true riches in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. And I do believe that many a pagan, many a heathen headed for hell, by being kind and generous and good to the man or woman or child of God, is thereby saved, they and their entire family. And if I have time, maybe someday I'll preach a whole series on that. Now, I don't know why that is, but you know something? We're God's children. And when you do something kind and sweet for God's children, will He not reward you? I do believe that. Yes, I do. Oh, and the more that they know they're doing it for God's children, the more God will reward them. And the greatest reward God could possibly give them is salvation. I know I'm going to get a few complaints about that. And you're going to say, oh, well, so you're after material things, and you think if the world gives you material things, they'll be rewarded. Well, I didn't say that at all. I didn't say that at all. And you know what I said. I said something that is absolutely the truth, that God knows those who have been good to His people, and He will reward them accordingly, according to His riches in heaven. And those are the only riches that count. You know, Lazarus and the rich man is a wonderful story on that. He could have taken Lazarus in, the rich man could have. He could have said, come on into my house. You need a good meal. You need to be cleaned up. You know, he could have talked to Lazarus and said, tell me a little bit about yourself. I suspect the first thing Lazarus would have said was, I'm poor, I'm sick, I'm hungry, but I'm full of the Spirit of God. I love God. He could have had wonderful things to say to the rich man, but the rich man wouldn't have any of it. He passed him every day and cared not of his condition. If he would have taken Lazarus in, oh, what a blessing that rich man would have received. But he didn't. But he didn't. So, okay. Now, we're going to have some music. And this music is Boyd Cole. This is the Desert Airs Gospel Group. Boyd Cole, Wanda's brother. He's with the Lord right now. Boy, he's enjoying himself somewhere up in heaven, walking down those golden roads. Here he is now singing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, one of the great hymns of the faith. And then we'll begin with part four of How to Be a Witness for Christ. I'm Tex Mars.
Journey there, be my guide. am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand,
take my hand,
precious Lord.
I like this one too in Psalm 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Has God redeemed you from death, from sin? Then say so. Hey, God has changed me. God has made me a new person. You ever heard that old great hymn? Wonder what's the name of that? Maybe you remember about the man who was mean to his kids. He was cruel to his wife. He was a drunkard. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. And this song really makes you want to cry because at one moment in it, after he has found Jesus, he comes back home and he finds his little kids cringing behind the door, hiding from him. Because every time when he came home before late like that, he'd been drinking and he was wanting to beat somebody or hurt them. But he said, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You got a brand new daddy. Your old daddy doesn't live here anymore. You see, that's a testimony. What was he telling the kids at that very moment? Something very powerful had changed in their daddy's life. Okay? Now, here's one for you. Now, this is going to maybe get you, excuse me, my eyes are watering up here. I like this. I've always liked it in Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it talks about the saints in the last days. It says, and they overcame him. And many of you, I bet this is your favorite verse. And they overcame him, that is the beast, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto the death. Wow. That's the saints of the last days. Now some of you may say, well, you know, I haven't been canonized. The Catholic Church would have to do that and the Pope. No, no. If you have Jesus Christ, you're a saint. Friends, you're already a saint. You're already situated in heavenly places. The Bible says so. You're a saint of God. So be a saint. Act like one. Demonstrate it. Tell others how you became a saint. But isn't it amazing here? They overcame by the word of their testimony. You say, my testimony is not important. I'm not an important person. I haven't had a, you couldn't make a movie out of my life. There's probably millions of people out there that don't have such an exciting life that they could make a movie out of it, but they are important to God, as they are. Who knows, maybe you'll do exploits in heaven that they make movies of up there. I don't know. Is it really necessary for them to make a movie? I don't want them to make a movie of my life. I don't want everybody to know every little thing about me. You know, I'd like to start with when I came to know Jesus. Before that, what did it matter anyway? They love not their life unto death. You know, a lot of people at that point say, whoa, 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 hold it, hold it. I don't mind witnessing, but I am not going to go all the way to my death. You mean there's somebody out there that if I become an effective witness for Christ will want to kill me? Oh. And you know, at that point, some people say, well, persecution's going to come. I'm out of here. The world doesn't want persecution. They'll do anything to avoid persecution. And then that's when they become compromisers and they're non-judgmental. After all, they don't want the world to think bad of them. And death. What's this stuff about death, Tex Mars? I mean, what's that all about? That's serious stuff. Death? I don't know of any Christians that are dying. Well, maybe you just don't study enough. There are Christians in many countries that are dying today. You're just hated in America. You're not dying yet. But a lot of people say, man, I'm getting out of here. Because they don't know that a second way to be an effective witness is to realize that you are in a war. That's what a lot of people don't want. Very few Christians really respect anymore the words of that old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. with the cross of Jesus going on before. Oh, did you know that in many hymnals they don't even put that in anymore? Oh, it's too militaristic. It'll offend people. It'll make them angry. Why, we should not be triumphalists. We should just love everybody, the Mormons, the Masons, the Islamic nations. Oh, let's just love them all. We don't want them to hate us. What good does it do for people to hate you? If you turn people off, they won't come to Christ. And all, you know, you're just starting disputes and you're starting, you know, if you start becoming a thorn in people's flesh, you know what's going to happen? You're going to make it hard for all Christians. They're going to think we're all mean and cruel and bigoted. There will be a war and you'll be responsible for starting it. Well, it's probably true. Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus said exactly that. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." Jesus, he came to send a sword? Wow. Paul told us, did he not, that we're supposed to be exactly that, a soldier. He even told us how to put on the armament, how to put on the armor of Christ. To go out there, man, he said, and a good soldier does not entangle himself with the cares of this world. He, you know, he's ready to go. I mean, I was in the Air Force, and you know, and many of y'all had it harder than me in the Marines, some of you men and everything, some of you women maybe too, I don't know. But, I mean, there you were in boot camp, remember that, basic training? I mean, all day long they had your life planned. 24 hours a day you were a soldier. You know, they started in the morning blowing their bugle. You had, you know, 5 minutes to clean up your little area, to, you know, to shave and cut yourself and try to stop the blood from going. You're in such a hurry and go out there and stand in line to be screamed at. And then it began that day all the way till night. You were a soldier. But a lot of people in Christianity say, I don't want to be a soldier. I want to be a lover. I don't want to be a fighter. Well, you're in the wrong world. You're in the world of the devil. If you're in the world of Jesus Christ, you're in heaven. And you're a soldier. Okay? You need a dishonorable discharge. You need to go back out into the world. Because you're really not. I mean, that's what they used to tell us in the Air Force. You're all the way in or you're all the way out. Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Take that cross. Be a soldier. Jesus said, "But beware of men." Oh, I trust all men. There's so many good people. But he said, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I don't want to be hated. I'm getting out of here. Well, go ahead. John said in the Bible, they left us because they were never of us. It's going to get real bad. You know what? Romans, even the early Christians, they had it bad. You think you're any better than them? What makes you think you're better? You're not. Romans 8, verse 36 says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter."
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.